then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I will preach this Sunday morning from the subject, It's Above Me Now. It's above me now. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. It's above me now. On June 3rd of this year, a young African-American male by the name of Fred Brooks was working a late-night shift at a Holiday Inn Express in Austin, Texas. He was given a call by a family who needed to book a room for the evening because of a sick loved one in the area that they claimed was on her. I don't remember all the details of the initial conversation between him and that family. But one thing I do know that as the Caucasian American female client hung up the phone, she said that effing N-word. Sorry, there are words I cannot use in this pulpit in this house, but I'm sure you understand what the F-word means. With an ing, what the N word means, with the A on the end, I mean with the ER on the end. It's a little different when you put an A, that's your cousin. But when you end it with the ER, it conjures up all types of memories and pain. So she called this young African-American male the F-word and the N-word, ending with the E-R. And I'm sure with her Texas drawl, that E-R just went on and on and on. He then calls his corporate office and tells them what had just happened and how he had been insulted and how he had been called the N-word. He did not want to grant this family a room because of how they insulted him and because of their racist remarks. Corporate office agreed with him and told him that he did not have to offer them a room. We don't want that type of customer. Thank God for Holiday Inn Express. And when the family arrived, they came thinking wrong that they had a room. But he informed them, Mark, that there was no room in the inn. He then, like most people now doing, recorded the whole conversation. She actually apologized on tape for using those two words, begins to cry and claims, obviously, I guess that no other rooms are there. He was like, no, I can find you a room down the street. You just ain't staying here. I don't know why she kept insisting that she had to stay in that Holiday Inn Express. He kept telling her that you can't have a room. She kept saying, I need a room, and it kept going back and forth. And finally he said, ma'am, it's above me now. Ma'am, I'm sorry, it's above me now. I don't have any choice right now, it's above me now. In other words, Sister Lakin, I have called up to corporate office. And every now and then you need to call your CEO up in the corporate office and tell them what the people down here on earth, even though he already knows what they've already done, it's just good for him to hear from your side of the story. It's cold again, Jerry, outside, and miles are frozen. He said, it's above me now. In other words, ma'am, it is out of my hands. I have given it to a higher power and a higher authority. I don't have the power and authority down here behind this desk as a manager trainee to deny you a role. And he didn't say all this, but this is what's going on in the atmosphere. I've called up to the corporate office. They have made the decision to back me up. And we cannot grant you
kept saying when this statement became viral, as they say, for any of you who don't know what that means, viral means when it starts getting a lot of traction online and it's not like a virus, it spreads, it becomes viral and everybody has seen it and watched it on social media, and so we hear it keep saying, it's above me now.
Well, I will argue unto you that there are a whole lot of situations in our lives where it becomes above us now. The things that God will take out of your hands, out of your power, out of your control, and out of your authority. And wisdom and discernment will let you know if you have moved to a higher dimension with your relationship with God, when things have been taken out of your hands and when you just need to back up. Because if you get your hands in it, you're going to mess it up. And every now and then when you turn things over to God, you just got to let God handle it. You've got faith enough to give it to him while you want to keep in it. But one of those situations happened on Wednesday, October the 2nd, in a courtroom in Dallas, Texas. For those of you who watch the news and read the newspaper after Facebook and Twitter, you know what happened on Wednesday, October the 2nd. A Dallas city cop, sentenced to 10 years in jail for murdering one Lathon John, or Papa John. We were all upset. We were all bothered because we had been happy a couple of days before when she was found guilty of murder. Unfortunately, we in the African-American community, even though we shouldn't have been happy, shouldn't have applauded, we were finally kind of happy because of justice, not happy that she was found guilty of murder, not happy. If you found guilty of murder, it means that you have murdered somebody. And so someone has lost their life, and mother has been left crying. But we're somewhere in our spirits, we're kind of happy that justice has finally been served, because we've seen so many of our sons and daughters being killed by cops on the streets of America, and they go free. And so there haven't been too many occasions where actually a cop has been found guilty of what they had actually done. And she had been found guilty of murder. But what we don't understand, and what a lot of us got upset about, is that she only got 10 years for the murdering of someone's life. 10 years for the murder of someone's life. Because we're so used to, especially in South Carolina, in the South, that after our children are convicted of any crime, they have to stand up and the judge says, life. And so we couldn't understand how did this Caucasian American woman just get 10 years. Is there really justice in America? Yes, she is found guilty of murder. Yes, she is deserving a life sentence. Yes, she is deserving of what we have here, life without parole. How does she get only 10 years? Once again, is it the system working against us? Why are they so lenient on her? Is it because of the color of her skin that she only gets 10 years? Well, on the practical level, you have to understand that the Texas justice system really is different from all other systems. And I don't know how many other states do it the way Texas does. I know South Carolina does not do it. In South Carolina, once you're found guilty of a crime, the judge then sentences you. But in Texas, in a capital murder crime, the jury decides how much time you get. And all y'all who get your news on Facebook and Twitter are mad at the sister judge, thinking that the sister gave this woman only 10 years. The sister ain't had nothing to do with it until she came down off that bench, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Don't go nowhere. The jury decides after a sentencing phase. There are two trials. There's trial number one to decide whether the person is guilty or not guilty. Then there's a second trial that where they put up witnesses for both the person's victim family and then the defendant's family. That pals and all these people get to come talk and ask mercy upon the court. And then the jury is given a charge and given a length of time that they can decide between. And it's the jury, not the judge, that comes back and decided that based upon what we have heard and this crime, we're only going to give her 10 years for murder. Of course, we in the African-American community were aghast. course, we were upset because we were, let's see, we were so excited that finally someone had to serve justice, but only 10 years of it. And we were upset and we were mad. And then we saw that picture of his brother hugging the woman that had killed his brother. And then to make matters worse, we see this bailiff stroking her hair as in to console her. We ain't never seen that before in our lives, where our sons and daughters were coddled, where a murder was made to feel like everything was okay, that their hair was straight, that their eyebrows were awesome, that their makeup was on right before sentencing. And then we see just glimpses of stuff, just what the media wants us to see. We see a second hug that we in South Carolina in this area have never seen of a black robe hugging a murderer. We see this sister come down off the bench, and we see pictures of her hugging a murderer, but we don't see the context of the hug. And the problem with society, especially those of you who think you want to preach, who know one scripture, John 3:16. Maybe something out of Philippians 4. You don't know the context. And so when you don't know the context, you create your own content. Now we can argue all day long about why this judge came down off the bench. But there's a conversation between the judge and the defendant. And it happens in all courtrooms. That before and sometime there's going to be a conversation between the judge and the defendant. And you got to understand, you need to be ready for your conversation. Because after this, the judgment, there's going to be a conversation between the judge. Oh, help me. Thank God for your word. Thank God for your spirit. There's going to be a conversation between you and a judge. He ain't going to have on no black robe, but there's got to be a conversation between you and him. And you don't want that judge to give her a hug, but you're going to want a hug at the rapture. You're going to want a hug at the rapture, but you don't want her to get no hug. I don't like it either. I ain't never seen it before either. It didn't make no sense to me either. But the woman asked the judge, how do I find God? The woman asked the judge, can I be forgiven? And I don't care what y'all conspiracy theorists think. I don't know if she was playing a game, if she was crying crocodile tears. None of that matters. Because when you're pure in heart, you're going to take somebody at their word. Whether they're wrong or not, they're going to have to tell it. Nobody wants to say no, Erica. Me and you talk. Long time. takes a long time to get to that point. It takes a long time to get to peace. It took Joseph 22 years to forgive his brothers. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. The majority of them wanted to kill him, but the older said, no, we can't kill our brother. I ain't no way I'd be able to explain this to our father. So instead of killing him, we're just going to sell him away and get rid of him. See, they try to get rid of people who they're jealous of, but they can't get rid of you. That's why you're still on your job. That's why you still got your desk. They, you don't know what people... Ain't nobody... This must be the wrong Sunday. You're about to come back on Wednesday night. They can't get rid of you if they're jealous of you more. They try, but they can never win. So they got rid of Joseph. You know the story. I ain't got enough time. They ain't about to come on. But you know the story. You know the story. They sell him into slavery. He goes down to Egypt, and he's in Egypt, and then there's going to be a famine, and there's going to be years of plenty and years of famine, and so everybody's got to come to Egypt to buy corn, and his brothers come to buy corn, and he says, where the rest of your brother? I know y'all got a few more. How do you know all this? See, every now and then you need to drop some dimes on your enemy. Don't let them know the whole story, but let them know you know I know. Just a little bit. You know I know, right? Don't tell me everything, you know. Just smile. And say, how was dinner? Where the rest of your brothers? Bring all of them to me now. As a matter of fact, bring your daddy too. And all of them come down to Egypt. And they realize that the one they tried to kill was the one that was feeding them now. That's a word right there for somebody right now. The one you tried to kill is the one feeding you now. And see, there's some people who tried to kill you. Y'all ain't Pentecostal enough for me. But there's somebody in here who's holding this enough to know that there are people who really have tried to kill you, to take you out both spiritually and physically. But the devil blocked it every time. Every now and then we want to praise God for what he's given to us. But now and then, every now and then, you need to thank God for the stuff he's blocked. So they had to come down to Egypt to buy corn. And he forgives his brothers for what they had tried to do to him. But it took 22 years, Ron. And I understand that some people you had not forgiven your father for walking out on you. That's understandable. It's hard to forgive your rapist. It's hard to forgive that uncle that molested you. It's hard for you to forgive that boss that fired you. It's hard to forgive that man that walked out on you. It's hard to forgive that gold digger that took everything and she tricked you. Even though you know you were being tricked because it takes two to play. You were fine when y'all were playing. You just got mad when you lost. See some other terms I can't use in the house of the Lord. Let me stop right there. I'm about to go too far. But you were fine when you were playing. When she was your spades partner. But now she want to play with another partner. Now you mad. Same Joseph in your family. There's a sister or brother you ain't talked to in years. Why don't you break the ice? You've got to come to that point. You've got to get to that point. But you've got to want to get to that point. And if you give it to God, he will do it. And see, the reason why this thing changed is because of the words the farm's brother, who said, and I quote, I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you have done in the past,
and all the bad things you've done in the past. Listen to this, brother. I hope you, my brother's murderer, go to God with all of you. You don't let this woman off. Then he says, all the bad things you've done in the past. In other words, you're about to reap what you've already sown. Ain't nobody going to say nothing. You don't know how God works. See, you're reaping now, sister, for all the things. Don't think this the first time. The last time you just missed. Don't think this is the first time you done made a mistake. You are paying now for everything. And even though you might only have to spend 10 years behind jail, your spirit, unless you get it right with God, will be in jail the rest of your life. He put the root on her. He says, if you truly are sorry, it ain't up for me to decide. It ain't up for me to judge you. I ain't got no opinion about you, woman. But if you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. And I forgive you. And if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. He says, I speak for myself. I forgive you. And if you go to God, I am sure, anybody else, I am sure, I am surely goodness and mercy, 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 surely I'm going to keep saying until somebody get it, surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness, anybody had God's grace, or anybody benefited from his mercy, surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy, I'm not through, but surely, I feel a surely right now in my spirit, surely! His grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In the famous words of Erica Lakin, sit on down. Surely he will. Anybody know he will? Anybody know he will? Surely he will. I know he will because he forgave me. I know he did it because I've been a wretch undone. Surely he will because I know I've been guilty. I should have one more witness. You ain't got to stand up again. Somebody else in here has been guilty of some stuff that God has forgiven us, and if God has forgiven you, you owe it to give it to somebody else. Sandra, the leader of the Black Lives Movement, said in the documentary about the Charleston 9, he said in that documentary about Emmanuel, that after those 9 families forgave Dylan Roof at the bond hearing, after each family, one by one by one by one, came up and said, we forgive you. He said it pacified all the protest. He said once they gave him forgiveness, they neutered us. Unlike in St. Louis, unlike in New York, unlike in Cleveland, unlike in Sanford, Florida. You didn't see no protest down in Florida after the Charleston 9. Not a thing caught fire. Not a car was overturned. Wasn't even a march. You know why? Because it was above them. It was above them. After those families granted Dylan Roof forgiveness, they gave it to God. And when you give something to God, he is going to grant peace. Let me tell y'all something. I don't know what time it is. Forgive me if I'm going too long. I didn't wear a watch. I don't have my phone on me for a reason. I'm going to preach what God gave me today. You should have recorded. Forgiveness ain't for that person. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness ain't to let somebody off the hook. That boy didn't need to give that woman, get her off the hook. Forgiveness is for you. You've got to get that weight off of you. That judge, that female sister who stood on that bench was angry the whole time. She was mad about the situation the whole time. When she forgave Amber, she had to get that stuff off her because you don't know if she might have a son. she wasn't going to deny that. I know we ain't never seen that before. But once that boy put forgiveness and God in the atmosphere, everything else is out of control. Everything else is out of control. Forgiveness is for you so that you might live. See, some of us are burdened. Some of us are being held hostage by our memories, being held hostage by our pain, being held hostage by what somebody else has done for you. And you give that person too much power by holding on to that pain and that hurt. And yes, I'm being real. Yes, I understand. It takes time to forgive a person. It takes time to give over some stuff. But you cannot get over it until you first say, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And I want you to hear what Jesus said, Father, forgive them. You don't miss your shout. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. You done missed it already? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. The boy said, I forgive you. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. The boy said, I forgive them. But Jesus said, I, Father, you forgive me. The boy said, I got enough in me to forgive you. I don't know why, but I feel it in my spirit to forgive you. But that ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said, Dad, you forgive them. I ain't ready to forgive them. So, Dad, you go ahead and forgive them. I need to work through some stuff. I need to get through some pain. I need to get through all my memories. So, Daddy, I ain't ready. But, Daddy, you go ahead and give it to them. But, you know, see, Daddy, I got some other things I need to say up here on this cross. And I can't do my life and do what you've asked me to do until we forgive them, Daddy. So, Daddy, I ain't ready. But you go ahead and forgive them. That's why you got to give your enemies to God. Let God work on your enemies. Let God fight all your battles. And watch God make all your enemies your footstool. I wish I had a witness up in here that if you give them to God, God gonna make everything all right. I ought to have an all right witness up in here that everything has been made all right once you gave it to God. For they know not what they do. Your enemies don't know who they're playing with. Your enemies, hey! Your enemies don't know who they're playing with. Child of God. I didn't want to go this far. I just wanted to teach a little bit. But anybody up in here, child of God, and you can know that your enemies don't know who you're playing with, because surely, grace and mercy shall follow you. Oh, can anybody say, oh, the days of my life. If there's a witness in the building today, let me say, thank you, God, for my two sheepdogs. Thank you, God, for my two sheepdogs. See, every shepherd has two sheepdogs. see the bits of the hands I could be in my spirit. He can't see his finished gift to another man until he first grants forgiveness. And you can't live the rest of your life in peace, holding on to pain, holding on to grudges, holding on to a memory, letting someone else control. Says, I press towards the mark of the high call. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark of the high call. Christ Jesus, my Lord. There might be one this Sunday morning. It's time for you to start pressing ahead with Jesus. I know we don't like it. I know it bothers us. I know it seems like it's never fair. Again, it's about